Picture a woman arriving at an emergency room with chest pain, nausea, and fatigue. She's sent home with anxiety medication. Hours later, she returns in cardiac arrest. Her symptoms were textbook for a female heart attack, but medicine was written from a male template. This isn't an isolated incident. From drug dosages to surgical equipment, modern healthcare operates on a dangerous assumption that women's bodies are simply smaller versions of men's. The reality? Our biology tells a radically different story, one that begins not in medical schools, but in the primordial forests 200 million years ago. Every system in a woman's body, from her milk-producing breasts to her pain-sensing neurons, evolved under distinct pressures that shaped human survival itself. Understanding this evolutionary journey isn't just academic curiosity, it's a matter of life and death, revealing why women metabolize medications differently, why their immune systems behave uniquely, and why their pain is so often dismissed. Our story begins with a tiny, mouse-like creature nursing her young in a world ruled by dinosaurs. Long before breasts became cultural symbols, they solved four deadly problems: desiccation, starvation, predation, and disease. Our thumb-sized ancestor, Morgie, scurried through a dinosaur-dominated landscape, returning to her burrow where blind pups lapped milk that sweated from her skin, the humble beginning of evolution's most sophisticated communication systems. Human breast milk isn't just nutrition, it's liquid immunity, containing the most diverse oligosaccharides among all primates. These complex sugars function as prebiotics, cultivating beneficial gut bacteria as our ancestors became increasingly social. Milk became an information highway, with cortisol levels teaching infants about environmental stress. High cortisol milk produces cautious, vigilant offspring. Low cortisol milk creates exploratory, social individuals. These personality traits persist into adulthood, shaped by molecules passed through nursing. Pregnancy represents biological war between mother and fetus, each fighting for resources. The placenta produces proteins that raise maternal blood pressure, sometimes causing life-threatening preeclampsia. Another protein, PP13, creates inflammatory diversions while trophoblast cells burrow into maternal arteries like parasites securing their food supply. Evolution's goal isn't victory for either side, but maintaining tension long enough for birth. Unlike marsupials, placental mammals evolved a single vagina, allowing larger offspring and creating new vulnerabilities. For upright walking humans, this gamble became especially dangerous. 1 in 10 women experiences urinary incontinence after vaginal birth because our pelvic architecture wasn't designed for both bipedalism and large-headed babies. Modeling nude for art students, I noticed male students consistently drew my breasts disproportionately large early in the semester. As weeks passed, their drawings became anatomically accurate. Were they seeing what their brains expected rather than reality? This reveals a larger truth. Women and men literally perceive different realities. Women's ears are specially tuned to baby cries above 2 kHz, while male ears favor lower pitches. Women retain high-frequency hearing longer and experience genuine distress from technological sounds, computer whines, electrical hums that many men cannot detect. The gap widens dramatically with smell. Women possess remarkably superior olfaction, detecting and identifying faint scents correctly. This advantage peaks during ovulation and pregnancy, with female olfactory bulbs containing over 50% more neurons than men's. Most remarkably, up to 12% of women are potential tetrachromats, with 4 color dimensions instead of 3, capable of distinguishing 100 million distinct colors. When Captain Griest completed Army Ranger School, enduring hypothermia, starvation, and mountain climbs with crushing loads, she challenged assumptions about female physical inferiority. Women's angled femurs create mechanical disadvantages compared to men's straighter alignment, explaining higher rates of knee replacements. This isn't weakness, it's the price of bipedalism, paid disproportionately by female bodies. Yet women evolved distinct metabolic advantages. While men possess explosive power, women developed relatively stronger legs and superior endurance capacity. Women's muscle cells excel at lipid beta oxidation, using mitochondria to break down fat for energy, providing better access to a second wind during prolonged activities. This explains why women often match men in endurance sports and sometimes outperform them in ultra-endurance events. Conventional narratives portray early tools as male-invented weapons. Think Kubrick's bone-turned weapon in 21. Reality differs. Our ancestors' first tools were practical survival implements, likely invented by females managing offspring while meeting urgent needs. Female chimps in Senegal fashioned spears to hunt bush babies while carrying infants. Homo habilis, our handy ancestor from 2.8 million years ago, was likely a female scavenger who developed stone tools for desperate survival, clutching a rock axe and stolen meat while fleeing predators, baby in tow. Midwifery marks when hominins truly became human. Unlike other mammals, our ancestors developed collaborative birthing, requiring extraordinary trust, humanity's first medical science. When Homo erectus migrated from Africa, survival required controlling reproduction, timing births for favorable seasons, spacing children for resource availability. The tools enabling human extension weren't weapons or fire, but reproductive knowledge. Language transfers complex ideas between brains through sound waves. No other species does this. The eve of human language was likely an anatomically modern woman with fully developed vocal instruments. But storytelling made us human. This watershed moment occurred 30,000 to 50,000 years ago when culture exploded with art, burial rituals, and symbolism. The first storyteller was probably a mother speaking to her child. A predatory cat drags a hominin corpse into her den, puncturing the skull to feast on the brain's fatty contents, revealing an uncomfortable truth. Brains are metabolically expensive. Our brains demand constant fat and sugar, consuming disproportionate energy compared to chimps. Yet we invested heavily in neural tissue, particularly the prefrontal cortex, which expanded dramatically during 1.5 million years of migrations from Africa. What distinguishes humans isn't just brain size, but remarkable adaptability to virtually any environment. Human newborns arrive with brains at just 30% of adult size compared to chimps' 40%, allowing extended childhood where brains wire themselves according to specific environmental demands rather than fixed genetic programming. Pregnancy triggers remarkable neurological transformation. Women experience up to 5% brain volume reduction in the third trimester through synaptic pruning in regions associated with emotional attachment, learning, and memory. After birth, the brain gradually rebuilds, preparing mothers for intense challenges, creating strong infant bonds, recognizing needs without verbal communication, and adapting to altered social roles. Women across all cultures instinctively cradle babies at their left breast, aligning infants with the mother's more expressive facial side while observing with their left eye, connected to the right brain hemisphere that interprets emotional cues. This hardwired biology creates an intimate feedback loop where mother and child read each other's needs through gaze and expression. Around her 40s, a woman's body begins a transformation that defies evolutionary logic. Menstrual cycles become irregular, hot flashes appear, and perimenopause begins, lasting 2 to 10 years before postmenopause consumes the remaining third of her life. Most animals reproduce until death, making human menopause a biological anomaly shared only with orcas. Why would evolution design women to outlive their fertility? The grandmother hypothesis suggests older women stopped reproducing to help raise grandchildren, improving survival rates. Yet women don't have an ovarian off switch. Their ovaries simply run out of eggs, losing about 1,000 follicles monthly from before birth. Older female chimps also stop ovulating around 50, suggesting primate ovaries may be designed for a 50-year lifespan, while humans evolved to delay aging elsewhere. Women consistently outlive men across cultures and species. Of 3 verified people who lived beyond 115 years, all are women, with French woman Jen reaching 122. The oldest man reached only 116. This survival advantage evolved because female mammals are more evolutionarily valuable. Women require at least 21 months to reproduce, while men need only 2 to 3 months. Female longevity isn't a medical mystery. It's an evolutionary necessity designed to transmit knowledge, maintain social bonds, and ensure the next generation's survival through wisdom that only time can accumulate. We are all Eves, living simultaneously in the present and evolutionary time. What makes humans distinctive isn't just our large brains, but our complex love bonds and ability to extend them beyond blood relations. Our minimal sexual dimorphism, males only 15% heavier than females, reveals a history of decreasing male competition, pointing toward collaborative rather than competitive mating strategies. To understand pre-monogamy societies, examine today's matriarchal primates, all of baboons, geladas, and bonobos. In these societies, females control social organization, determining group movements, resource distribution, and conflict resolution. The transition to patriarchy began with males befriending high-ranking females and their babies. As childbirth became increasingly dangerous, females collaborated more and relied on helpful males who received sexual exclusivity in exchange for protection. Despite sexism's evolutionary origins as a reproductive control mechanism, it may now harm our species. Yet, our uniquely human traits, extended kinship behavior, narrative building, and problem solving, allow us to create institutions that overcome evolutionary tendencies toward territoriality and dominance competition. Understanding women's evolutionary history isn't about celebrating difference or claiming superiority. It's recognizing that half of humanity has been medically underserved because we forgot to ask, what if evolution shaped male and female bodies for genuinely different challenges? Women aren't experiencing the same world as men with slightly different interpretations. They're receiving genuinely different sensory data. To ignore this story isn't just intellectually lazy, it's dangerous.